Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Dan.
And I am Jenny.
Here we go! Episode 17, Michael's Game.
Ooh.
Michael's Little Game. The games we play. I really, really like this episode.
It's picking up. I know the last episode was a little slow, so I'm glad to see that this one has a little bit more going on.
Yep. Air date January 12th, 1994. Let's get right into it.
We open up the exterior of Melrose Place into the courtyard. And I gotta say, this looks very set-like.
Yeah.
They get away with like making it look like this could actually be an apartment building at some times. But to me, this looked so fake.
Yeah, it's very set-y.
And there's this rock music going, like, very generic, you know. We've talked about this many times before. It's that, like, free domain music where it's just that watered down, like, man up.
Da-da-da-da-da. This one Da-da. Was, don't you look at me.
I swear it said man up in it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it did. It's just a ton of one-liners. So we kick it off. Michael is on his crutches. He's owning that kitchen again. We've seen him do it many a times before, but he's rocking the skillet. He's making eggs. Jane comes in. She's coming to work. He's like, oh, no. You sit over there, sweetheart.
And she's wearing like a very strange Renaissance vest.
It's like a smock. It's like a smock skirt.
It's like a lace-up corset that's very loose, and it looks like it's from like 1648.
Yeah. She should have worn that pirate shirt under it.
Yeah, that would have been a really good little combo. Yeah.
And some pilgrim shoes.
And we noticed something really weird in this scene.
Michael, he bites off more than he can chew. He's got his crutches and he has the two plates. And then he sort of like makes a move and it goes like...
What the sound was. Okay?
Oh, I know what it was.
We are just speculating.
It was a wet fart.
It sounded exactly like that. And there's no other explanation. Like, what was it?
And perfectly timed.
And he makes this really weird face after it happens, too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's too perfect. I don't know. If you guys watch it, you tell us. Was it a fart? Was it like a weird background noise?
I mean, I want it to be a fart, but I know it isn't.
I know. I want it to be,
too. I want it to be, but it's perfect because he's like, ooh, sweetie.
I need a little help here.
A little help here. Like he just crapped himself. It's like, babe, I just... shitted.
Yeah, and he calls her sweetheart, and she's like, please don't call me that. Why? Robert's out of town. Which, it's like, Michael, why does that matter?
Yeah, dude, he is way too comfy.
And she's like, yeah, it's still not appropriate. And you know what, Michael, if you're becoming so self-sufficient, maybe it's time that you should move on back to your own place.
Yeah, get out of here. So now we head over to Joe's place, and she's in the robe about to fix some coffee. And I guess hanging out in the bushes pays off because Reed got to, this is a continuation of when we last saw him, so he stayed the night.
Really weird.
Yeah.
That exchange at the end of last episode, that was kind of like, call the cops, lose my number, don't come near me again,
yeah,
kind of a situation.
Block your phone, all that.
Yeah, but... he weaseled his way in. I guess he's been crashing on her couch for a few days.
Yeah, and then he's in the kitchen. She goes to get some coffee, and he up and puts his crusty-ass boxers on her counter.
How do you know they're crusty?
They look crusty as hell. And, like, a ball almost comes out.
We have Dan Hill on Gentle to Watch.
I'm on Private Watch. Ladies and gents, almost had a ball.
Oh, my God. So
from our view, the left one. Okay. His view, right one. Take a look. Run that back and see if I'm wrong.
Okay, that's very important. I know, but everyone's going to look back on that.
Seriously, though, Jenny, as a guest in someone's house, you don't just hop up on the counter.
In only your underwear.
In only your underwear.
I feel ya. I'm with you on that
your
one.
Your butt is on the...
Okay!
This really bugged me.
I can tell. So Reed goes on to say how it's so strange that small decisions in your life can turn out to be huge things and can catapult you in an entirely different direction. And Jo gets right to the point, and she's like, what the hell are you doing here? I mean, when I saw you up in the Bay Area, you made no indication that you wanted to come down to LA. And Reed says that he wanted to start over in a place that people don't know him, where he can reinvent himself, and he feels that LA is the perfect place to do that.
And this is where Jo really connects with him, because if you don't remember, Jo did the same thing. She relocated from New York. She wanted to get away. She wanted to reinvent herself. She wanted to ditch Joe Beth. She was Reed. So that's where they connect. You know, for really the first time as an audience that we see them, you know, have a common link. Yeah, she's like, I get it. I totally get it.
But she does say she does say that the building, Melrose Place, is pretty nosy. And although LA is a really big place, you can get lost. There's a lot of things going on here, a lot of people talking about one another, and Reed says discretion is his middle name, and she says that everybody in Melrose Place is going to want to know who this handsome stranger is crashing at her place.
And then he, like, is this where he kind of grabs her and is like, let's make out?
And she's like, first and foremost, we're friends, and if anything else happens beyond that, let's take it slow.
And keep your crusty ass boxers off my counter, asshole. That's worse than shoes on the couch, man. That is worse than shoes on the couch.
Agreed.
Ugh. Disgusting. Anywho, we head over to D&D, and Amanda's got the feds up in her place.
Yeah, the FBI is paying a visit, and they are imploring her to reveal her father's whereabouts.
And she's basically like, look, I don't know where he's at. And basically, he's still innocent until he's proven guilty, right? And they're like, yeah, I guess you're right, but this motherfucker sold cars.
And she's like, I won't be speaking to you any further without the presence of my own counsel, and you need to leave.
Yeah, and then they just sort of kind of don't leave, and she's like, get out! I loved this episode for Amanda.
Just because you can kind of see her cracking.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some kinks in the armor. Yeah. Chinks in the armor.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
So next off, we go over to Shooters, where Michael is visiting Sydney to make sure that everything is going to plan.
Right. He's like, hey, Sid, I need to meet Lauren. And she's like, no, you don't.
You got the girl. It's got to happen tonight. This is his last night in San Diego.
Yeah, and she's like, make sure this woman's hot and knows what she's doing. She's a whore. she has to go there and fuck him, right?
Well,
got it.
It takes a little bit more finesse, especially if he doesn't know the circumstances.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get to it, but goddamn, she went above and beyond. She should have gotten an Oscar for this shit. It's a lot for a hooker.
Well, damn, these are very high-end girls.
I guess so.
I mean, they're the 20 most beautiful girls in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and they all flunked out of freaking, like, NYU acting school, Juilliard. They're freaking amazing at coaxing men into bed. All right, we'll get to it.
We find that answered one of my questions from last episode, that this isn't a freebie. I mean, Michael still is paying for this, because my question was, wow, this is a very tall order and a huge favor for Michael to ask of Sydney and to expect just some other gal who isn't even like remotely connected to this situation to go to San Diego, which is, you know, a 3-hour drive.
It's a hike.
And then you not only have to just like go to someone's hotel room and have sex with them, which could be 30 minutes of your time, you actually have to seduce them without them knowing that you are a hooker. So there's a lot that goes into it, and we find that maybe he's got to pay for that. So half now and then half when the tape is delivered.
Maybe Lauren has, you know, another chick stout stable set up in San Diego.
Maybe she has different branches.
She got some more trick stallions down there.
Got a San Diego branch.
Yeah.
So Sydney's a little skeptical. You know, Robert really loves Jane. I don't know if he's going to fall for it. And Michael's very confident. He'll fall for it. Call me when you get the tape, okay?
Yeah, get that tape, bitch. So now we go back to D&D. Allison, she brought in basically HR and the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bruce.
About getting her client back, the McMillan case.
So Microcomp.
Yeah.
So if you remember last episode, Amanda takes Allison off of this account because she says that Allison has been unprofessional and pursued a personal relationship with the client, and that led to her having slipshod work and bad results with her work.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't even make sense because everything was all good with Microcomp.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
So, of course, Allison feels that this is not justified, and against Amanda telling her that she shouldn't take it up to the people upstairs, she does. Mm-hmm. So Amanda kind of gets the sprung on her that Allison has already complained, and they want to talk to Amanda about what went on with the Microcomp account.
They sure do. And not only does the boss tell Allison that she can have Microcomp back, he tells he wants to speak to Amanda privately and tells Amanda, yo, so one, back the fuck up off Allison, and two, why don't you take a couple days off? Because you look like you need it. And I saw the feds in your office. I know what's up with your criminal-ass dad. Why don't you take that shit somewhere else?
And that's paraphrasing.
Yeah, I'm just paraphrasing here. But basically, so again, another scene where Amanda takes an L.
Yeah, and Amanda acquiesces to this and says, well, what kind of catastrophe can happen in just 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
We shall see.
Oh, we will see.
We then go to Billy and Allison's apartment, where Allison is telling Billy about her triumph over Amanda and how she's going to be aggressive and go after what she wants, and she's not going to let Amanda walk all over her.
And Billy massages this and is basically like, yep, be cutthroat. While she's gone, get some shit done.
Pretty much that's what happens in that scene. Robert calls Jane in this next scene from San Diego just to check in, letting her know that he's missed her and he doesn't want to take these trips anymore. And he tells Jane that Michael had better be out of the apartment by the time he gets home tomorrow. And Jane is like, you know what? I think that's a great idea. He's getting to the point where he can do stuff on his own, and it is time that he moves out.
Yeah, get the fuck out,
and
dude.
By this time, I mean, it's been several months.
Dude, you can walk.
Because this was before Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not making meals. He's like going out to bars getting drunk. Why does he need to live there?
He could like work at this point.
He really could.
Like, yeah, there's no reason for him to be there. I mean, Robert, you really should have nutted up before this and kicked his ass out. I mean, come on. I could never do this.
Yeah, this is an insane situation.
If like your ex-boyfriend is like rehabbing on our couch, I would feel horrible.
Yeah.
All of the time. Beg Jane's guys to leave. I don't really give a shit.
Well, finally, Robert's putting his foot down. So the next scene is Robert at the hotel restaurant, and he's in San Diego. This is his last night there.
Yeah, he's like, he gets off the phone with Jay, and he's like, I'm just going to go down to the terrible restaurant and think of you, and I'm going to call you as soon as I wake up in the morning. It's like, he's so pressed.
He is.
So, such a bitch.
Okay.
Stop being so pressed over it, dude.
And while he's sitting enjoying his meal, a very attractive woman comes up to him and she starts making small talk. Hello.
Great small talk.
You've been here for a few days, haven't you? Well, you see, I'm here too on business and I'm working on this computer system at the San Diego Zoo, which monitors how much food the animals eat. I mean, a rhino eats this much and then it calculates how much food they need. And oh gosh, it's been wild. I've only been working with animals and I would really kill to just have some intelligent conversation. Would you mind terribly if I joined you?
Yeah. Where did you find this girl, Sid?
And really?
Seriously, Juilliard.
She really has a very extravagant backstory. And
Never wavering.
And she really would have to know a lot about like computers and about animals to really pull it off in a convincing way.
For an hour.
Because they were there for a while.
We're not talking, hello, how are you? What's your name? Want to do it? They're going to have a full dinner convo about professionalism. And this woman gets paid to have sex only.
And to tell you, like, I'm trying to put myself in this situation. If I'm on a business trip. Well, hear me out. If I'm on a business trip and I'm sitting there, it's the last night, I'm just like eating my dinner. If some attractive guy came up to me and he was like, hi, miss, I've been watching you and like seen you around and I would like some company, I would be like, no. And maybe it's different from like a guy to a girl, but I'd be like, dude, I'm flattered that you like came over here and thank you, but if it's all the same, I'm in a committed relationship. I have an early morning. I'm really going to just kind of like, I don't know. I'd
be like, you're a hooker.
No, you wouldn't.
I bet you're definitely.
You would be flattered if some hot girl was like, hi, can I have dinner with you?
Yeah, but I'd be like, come on, how much? What's the price? Not like how much like I'm interested. That'd be my way of being like, I know what's up.
I mean, and even if you entertain the idea of having, like, just talking to them, I don't know. I feel like you have to take culpability. Like, Robert has culpability in this. Why does he let it go as far as it does? So
she said all the right things at the beginning. He was like, "Okay, great. It's a business dinner."
And she says, well, you know, the food here is pretty lousy, but they have a great wine list. And when the server comes over, she's like, oh, give me the Bin 85 Chardonnay or whatever the hell they order.
Yeah, it's like, you should be like on auditions, not fucking dudes.
And is Michael paying for this dinner too?
He must.
Because
it's got to be tacked on.
This has got to be really pricey.
Yeah.
A lot.
Did we already say the hooker's name?
Her name is Diane, we learn.
Diane Adamson, played by Framke Janssen. And I didn't realize this watching it, neither did Jenny, but she is a big deal.
Well, she looks so familiar and I just couldn't place her. She has like a really prompt, like her nose and her like teeth are so, like, I don't know what, it's something about her that it's like, oh, I know that face.
Yeah, and she's like super young in this, but she is Jean Grey from basically every X-Men movie.
Right.
Except for the new ones. Because that's now Sophie Turner. But she's also in Hemlock Grove. And she was on How to Get Away with Murder. She's having a fantastic career. Still working. She's killing it. She's a star. This is probably one of the biggest stars that's been a guest star.
You think?
Yeah, for sure.
Like
not soap world.
Yeah.
She's huge.
Maybe in mainstream guest stars.
Yeah.
Because I think Heather Locklear could argue that she's more of a household name than Framke Janssen or whatever her name is.
Sure. But I mean, we're not talking special guest star.
Okay.
We're just talking guest star.
Just that tier.
I mean, we're not putting her in the credits. She's not walking in the line.
She's not doing that little smile turn to the camera.
No,
she ain't, Framke. You're not doing that.
But she's killing it. Killing it.
Next scene, we go back to Melrose Place where Jake is watching TV. And all of a sudden, Amanda just walks in.
Get the fuck out of my place.
Yeah.
That's what I say to her.
And Jake looks at her almost disbelieving and is like, hey, have you ever heard of knocking?
And then she just boasts like, I got the master keys.
Well, I got the master keys. And then she says, I was really hoping I could catch you in the shower.
Yeah, that's really rapey.
So Jake is like, well, one minute you want to evict me. And then next she cuts in and says, yeah, practically rape you. It's like that kind of language would never fly on network TV today.
Mm-mm. Can't joke about rape.
Nope.
You nuts?
Not funny. So she's just like, can't we start over? Come on. I'm really sorry for everything.
And I thought
was totally
Jake,
wrong.
I thought Jake was going to look at her and be like, have a nice night.
Well, but at first he kind of was. He's like, what, you just want to pick up where we left off? And he's like, no, that's ridiculous. And then she gets him by saying, well, what would you say about spending 5 days in Hawaii starting tomorrow?
And he's like, get over here. Let's make
it. Who can say no to that?
Mahalo. Or aloha. Yeah, he totally buys it. Jake can be bought. Not impressed, Jake.
Next scene, we are back with Robert and this woman, Diane.
This dinner's going great.
They've gone through a bottle of wine, and now it looks like they're like drinking some kind of like after dinner drinks, like dessert kind of liqueur, scotch. I don't know. They have like little snifters.
They're really yucking it up.
They're drunk. They're having a good time. They're laughing. They're telling stories. And she said, and he's like, look, I have to go. This is good. It's been really great. And she's like, well, you just have to promise to get me to my room safely.
And he's like, I can do. So they go to the room.
And she asks, how about a nightcap? And at first he's really resistant. No, no, no. You're married and I am. And she's like, she pulls him into her room. And she's like, look, it's just the two of us here. No one is ever going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much seals the deal. Robert's like, let's do this.
So they start making out, laying on the bed. She has a little butt shot. She like crawls up to him. Robert's like, he's feeling it.
And she's like wearing a garter belt. Like she's ready to go underneath her clothes.
You think that this whole time they were setting it up, like all this time, like Robert was going down on Jane a lot. And then finally, the hooker like gets on top of Robert and is like, let me do the work. Let me do this. And then it pulls away and you see this camera with the red light running.
Hidden under some clothes, pointed at the bed. It's capturing everything.
And you made a great comment while we were watching. Do you remember?
Yeah. My question is, was the camera just recording this whole time?
Had to have been.
And back in the 90s, I mean, those tapes were like 120 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't just record into perpetuity. It was like there would be an end point.
Yep.
So how long were they at dinner?
It was at least an hour.
And there could have been something would happen with the camera where it could have stopped recording.
Yeah.
So I think that they're pretty lucky that they got this on tape.
She's a pro. Maybe she's always the girl who goes. She's like,
maybe
oh.
This is like old hat. Like this is like their one of their packages that they offer. Like, oh, you want to do like a sting operation, a seduction where we
Diane,
get it on tape?
Diane, send
got
Diane.
Got another one.
We got San another Diego. One for you. Diane, we got to get you on tape. Set it up. So, yeah, Robert's fucked, basically. This is not going to go well for him.
We cut back to D&D where Allison is having another conversation with Bruce. And she brings up this other client called the Mountain Tog campaign. And this is a client of Amanda's. And Allison tells Bruce that she feels that the client is going to walk because they're not doing anything new or edgy with their ad campaign. So Bruce says, you know what? I felt the same way. And I think that maybe we need to do something about this. So Allison volunteers to meet with the client and go over some new ideas that she has. And Bruce says, you know what? That's okay with me, but you just got to loop Amanda in with everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, that sounds great. Of course I'll do that.
And she's really going after it. This is the most aggressive Allison has been at work.
Right. And the very next scene is cut over to Amanda and Jake. It wasn't clear. I think they were in air. They were in a plane.
They're absolutely in flight.
They're wearing Lay's. They are drinking Mai Tais.
Mm-hmm.
They are going all the way. They're in the air, and it's about a 5-hour flight from LA to Honolulu or wherever they're going, anywhere to the Hawaiian Islands.
And Amanda's like, I just got to make one quick call. And Jake's like, basically, oh, is this what the vacation is going to be? You always going for the fucking phone? And she's like, I just got to make one quick call. That's it. So then she goes to the back of her head, grabs the old school airplane phone, if you guys remember this shit. She rips it off the wall and then swipes her credit card through it. And I was like, I remember these.
Oh, yeah. And really, I've been in planes recently that still have these.
Really?
Like probably within the last 5 to 7 years.
That's not recent.
Well, I mean, when
5 years ago?
When we're talking about 25 years versus 5 years, it's recent.
Recent is like... 3 months ago.
Okay, I'll noted.
5 to 7 years is a long time ago.
Well, I mean, we're talking about 93. I'm talking about like 2009.
Amanda's on the phone. She's on the phone. She's talking to her assistant. Well, not really her assistant. It's basically the receptionist at D&D.
Her personal receptionist.
Oh, okay.
Because he answers Amanda Woodward's office.
So he's like, yeah, everything's going very well. Allison's doing a really great job. She has a meeting today with your client. And she's like, wait, what?
The Mountain Tog account? Yeah, she has a meeting tomorrow morning with them, and she's doing a great job.
And she's like, put Allison on the phone right fucking now. And he's like, well, I can't because she's in a meeting with the boss. And she's like, okay, I will be in tomorrow. And Jake hears this shit, and he's like, almost spits out his Mai Tai. He's like, so, bitch, what the fuck? I'm on the way to Hawaii.
She hangs up, and she just says, vacation is over. Allison is gunning for my job.
Poor Jake.
What? This is wackiness.
This is more of an outrage than Robert cheating
than
on Jake.
Than anything. Okay, they're in the air.
I'm furious.
They're almost to Hawaii. So you're telling me they're going to get to Hawaii, and then they're going to get on the next flight back? You're doing back-to-back flights that's 10 hours in the air, and you don't even get to enjoy yourself?
If I was Jake, I'd be like, well,
I'm saying,
you cool if I just kick it in Hawaii and you go back?
This is horrible.
Yeah.
And really, Amanda, what are you going to do going in? Gosh, that must have been on Friday. So it's like, who cares?
Yeah, who
cares? Deal with it on Monday.
Man. Deal with it on Monday.
I hate Amanda in this episode.
So another loss for Amanda, which I love, but I just hate that Jake is involved. Poor guy.
He's just an innocent bystander.
Yeah, man, come on. Now, Sid, she gets the tape.
Right.
So, she gets the tape back from Diane or sent from Lauren, who knows, but she has the tape.
And she says that Diane said it was the easiest money she's ever made.
That's
really
easy?
I was like, see, that goes back to our theory that she must do this a lot.
Yeah.
Because if that was easy, that's a lot of work. You had to like really stay in character the whole time.
She had to not be a hooker for over an hour. At dinner.
Like, easy would be you meet someone in their car for 10 minutes and that's
give them a little HJ. See gone. You later.
That's easy. I mean, I'm not speaking from experience, but just if you think about it.
Yeah, just the sheer work in general, it's probably 5 to 7 minutes.
This is really above and beyond.
Very labor intensive. So Diane's a profesh. So Michael and Sydney, they watch it and they're just like, yeah, this is great.
And Sydney says, yeah, he left right when they were done because he felt so guilty.
And you can tell, like, they're watching and Sydney's watching Michael watch it. So she, like, she really just enjoys being part of this team. Poor Sid, she just wants to be, like, in something, you know?
Yeah, but do you see that anytime she wants to be in something, it directly negatively affects her sister?
Of course. But I just like them as, like, an evil duo.
They are pretty good.
I like them working together to, like, fuck people over. I'm sorry, like, it's just, it's
fun.
They're
a good team.
Yeah, it's really cool. So they make a plan to put the tape in Jane's mailbox, basically, or like at her door.
So Jane returns home that evening. She finds a manila envelope just sitting on her doorstep. Mm-hmm. Does not have anything, like any return address, nothing like to mark that it's to her. She walks in to her home, opens it up, sees it's a videotape, and inside is a note that typed, and it just says, "You may be interested in seeing this."
Something you'll be interested in seeing.
Direct quote.
And I wish it said, "Watch me." I wanted it to say, "Watch me." I don't know why. I called it out. I was like, it says, "Watch me." That would have been great. So I was giddy as shit on the couch.
I know. Dan like, was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She puts the tape in the VCR. However, before she can push play, there is a knock at the door, and it's Robert returning from his trip.
And Robert doesn't miss a beat.
Nothing. He is
no sign of remorse.
Business as usual. I miss you so much. Kissy, kissy. I never want to go that far away from you again.
Yeah. He's just, hey, babe, back in town. Let's do it. She starts ripping his clothes off. They start kissing. And he did this. He did it to this woman probably
less than 24
7 hours ago.
Yeah.
6 hours ago. Who knows?
Less than 20. It's the evening of the next day. So less than 24 hours. And they, you know, they get busy.
I forgot to ask you, if a tape arrived at our doorstep, or we'll upgrade to a DVD. What, like, you would watch it immediately, right?
Like, no, of course.
It wouldn't matter. And it wouldn't matter if I came straight home.
And if you came straight home, I'd be like, oh my God, Dan, we just got this and it said, look what it says.
I'd be like, sweet, throw it on.
I'm about to watch this.
Yeah, but why wouldn't she just tell Robert?
And I would kind of be, like, I'd almost be scared.
Yeah, but like, it'd be intriguing.
You get something like that on your doorstep, like, I don't think I could watch it alone.
Yeah.
Because it would be
almost like The Ring.
Like, exactly. Like, my brain goes to, oh my God, is this like a murder? Is this something like horrible? I don't
know.
Has
someone been taken?
Yeah. Or like, has someone been like stalking me and like it's footage of like me and then they're going to kill me while I'm watching it? Like, my brain would go there.
It would almost have been like, I like what they did with it to maintain the suspense through probably a commercial break.
Yeah.
But like, to think as the characters, Jane gets the envelope. She opens it up. It's a tape. Robert, who is now her best friend and lover, she would share that with him.
I'd be like, she'd be like, what I just got.
Yeah. And then I think maybe the scene would be just as good, if not better, if she pops it in and Robert's just like chilling on the couch, like about to do it to her.
What could this be?
Yeah, throw it on. Throw that shit on. Let's see it. I think that could have been really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that doesn't happen in this episode. They start getting busy. They're back at the bedroom. They make out. They do their thing.
Now we're at Joe's apartment. She enters her apartment. And Reed is there with what we know at that moment as with a gun. Cocked, loaded. And he says, put the bags down and shut the door.
Missy.
And I was like,
pointing the gun at Joe. I was like, yes, yes, yes. Like thinking this is going to be awesome. Like,
and Joe, I mean, she handles it pretty good. She's just like, Reed, what is going on? And she shuts the door and he's just like, found your gun, looking for some cleaning products.
And she's like, you were snooping? That is the biggest red flag I've ever seen in my life.
Well, and I think she knows it too.
You have a house guest over, and mind you, this is a guy she hasn't seen for 10 years, and this is the same dude she ran away from on the prom night. Mm-hmm. So she probably thought that something was off about him at that time. She's kind enough to let him crash with her. And he's going through her stuff enough to find her gun. And then he points it at her.
Yeah. And just from a life perspective, I have a view about people in general that before they do something absolutely batshit insane or weird, they give you a clue that they're a freak. And in this case, Reed jumping up on the counter in his crusty boxers is a big red flag. This guy ain't right.
One could argue him just showing up at Melrose Place with nowhere to stay.
Right.
And then just assuming that he could crash with Joe would be that red flag.
Yeah. Like your lunatic friend who like borrows your car for a day and has it for a week. Chances are they've like told you they wear their underpants backwards like months before. Something like that. There's always some little thing that shows itself. Anywho.
So she's like, give me that thing. And he says, you're not going to need this anymore now that I'm around. And it's like,
what do you mean, bro? You're just crashing.
You're crashing on my couch. I don't know what.
Get the net. We broke up. Yeah. We're not even dating.
I don't even. Oh, not God.
Yeah, you're just fucking hanging out.
So he is like all up on her, and then she's just like cool with it.
Well,
she starts making out with him.
There's a sleight of hand thing where she like takes the gun from him
while they're kissing. So do you think she only kissed him to get the gun away?
Yes.
You do?
That's what I got
think she
from
wants
it. No, I took from that like she assessed the situation, was like, okay, this guy wants something from me, and I need to like divert attention, so I will kiss him, and I'll get the gun back.
No, she says you can't make assumptions about our relationship. We're friends, and then they get closer. He still has the gun in the hand. Really good friends.
Right.
And then they start kissing. Then she takes the gun away. But then it's like, at that point, I'd be like, and you need to leave now. But she lets him stay and we go to the next scene.
Well, look, think about Joe's history with domestic violence and abuse. She knows what she's doing. She's gotten her ass kicked by her ex-husband. He came back. And the whole like aggressive, like yelling, like, get out, you know, it's like an attacker, like trying to like be nice to their kidnapper, you know, just like
you mean someone that's being kidnapped?
Yeah.
To gain the trust of the person who kidnapped them.
Right. You don't want to throw flammable shit on a fire.
Okay. Okay.
So she just tries to diffuse it with a little smoochy diversion.
Okay. Next up, we go to Sydney and Michael, who are doing a little stakeout of Jane's apartment. They're watching her from Sydney's window. Nothing is happening, and they saw Jane enter her apartment with the tape in hand. So they were anticipating her to, you know, start screaming and being upset, and especially when Robert came in. But that didn't happen, and they have questions. What's going on?
And this is all of us right now. Everybody knows they've heard or seen like a train wreck, and you like kind of peek out your door like, oh, shit, something's about to go down. Or you hear like yelling outside of your apartment. Yeah. And you're like, what are they saying? What are they saying? Oh, my God, let's check it out. And they're just waiting for it like little kids.
Yeah, so they're really excited to see the disaster that they've designed. So the next scene is Robert and Jane in bed, and this is after they've reconnected.
As Jenny would say, post-coital.
It's true. And so Robert's like, you know what? I don't ever want to go away out of town again. My office sends some of us down to the San Diego branch when we get short-staffed. And I'm telling them I'm not doing it anymore. I miss you too much. I don't want to leave you, blah, blah, blah.
Isn't Robert's body gross?
You know,
it's like a kid.
I don't like examine. Yeah, it's like weird. A nothing like, body. You are always looking at like bodies and privates, like
outfits,
and I'm just kind of like just taking in the situation. I've not really assessed his body.
I get
honest.
Easily distracted, but he has like a high school kid body. There's no like definition, or he's just like blah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say out of everybody, I think he's one of the more attractive. Like, he's got a nice face. Some of the guys that have been guest stars have been woof. Best, you know.
Hottest guest guy is probably the art dealer that Matt was trying to hook up with.
Yeah, that art.
He had the best clothes.
And he had really beautiful eyes. Like, he was really hot. But everybody, like Paul. Oh, my God.
Paul was on death's door.
Keith was okay looking, but, you know, I mean, he...
Paul was bad news.
I didn't like Keith in the beginning because he was all like, I'm going to save the oceans, but like in a really like condescending...
T-Money was all right.
T-Money was cool. That little thin mustache dude from the beginning. Anyway... He doesn't really bother me as far as like the guest stars go.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like, and I like his personality.
Yeah.
So he says that he's thirsty, and Jane is like, you know what? I'm going to go get you some water. You just stay right here. She goes into the kitchen and on her way goes into the living room and glances at the TV and remembers, oh yeah, there's that tape, we've addressed previously. I mean, that would be the first thing you do.
Yeah, let me watch this tape.
So she pushes play. At first, it's really tough to figure out like what's going on. You see skin, you see bodies, you see people moving. And I think after a few seconds, it's kind of like, okay, these are two people having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is on top of the dude. And when she moves... She can see that the dude is Robert.
Yeah. And she was probably very confused. Like, this can't be Robert because he always just goes down.
Because we see the girl, the woman on top of Robert makes her way downstairs. So, you know, do a little. A little
blowjay.
A little oral stimulation. And. In the right hand, in the left hand corner of the screen, it has a timestamp where it says the date and the time. And so it's dated last night. So, of course, Jane is appalled and shocked. And she runs into the bedroom and she starts screaming at Robert to get out. She's ripping the sheets off of him.
He's like, Jane, what the hell are you talking about?
And he's like, what? I don't understand. And she says, what were you really doing in San Diego? Legal work or making tapes for Playboy Channel? And he's like, okay. She says, come on. Why don't you see for yourself? He goes to the television, sees himself there with Diane.
And he's like, I can explain.
It's an old video. And just starts lying his ass off.
And I love... That the hella 90s like timestamp on home movies actually plays a pivotal role in proving that this happened yesterday.
And there's no question that this could be doctored, that it could be totally fabricated. I'm seeing it right now. This timestamp has gotta be real.
Yeah. She's not having it. So you better get the hell out. Because it's hard as hell to set those dates on those old cameras. No one wants to do that again.
And, I remember back in the day, we had a camera like that, and the date and time was always wrong.
Right, because it was so hard to do.
Right.
So when it is right, you're like, oh, this is definitely right.
But was it right? I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Jane was really quick to be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
When it really could have been an old video, but I kind of hate how Robert handled this. And he was like, it was old, but he's totally lying.
Yeah.
He sucks.
He had to make a move on the fly.
We see, though, that Michael is watching on as Jane kicks Robert out of the apartment, and mm-hmm. he just has that little sly smile like, it worked.
Got him. Plan works to the T.
It's the next morning. We're back at Jane's apartment. Michael is there making breakfast for Jane. He's like, in good spirits. He's like, getting her eggs right. She comes in, and you can tell she's been like crying all night.
Yeah.
She sees Michael and says, where were you last night? I waited up for you until 2 a.m. And
he says, I was at Shooters. Shooters run all night?
And really, you're on, this whole thing about him having to be there so she can care for him. It's like, you're at Shooters until 2 a.m. and you need to live here because you need assistance?
Yeah.
Get out of here. So he was like, yeah, I wanted to give you guys some space. And she, right off the bat, is like, Michael, I know you had something to do with the tape.
And Michael, being the best pathological liar on the planet, is like, what do you mean, Jane? I have no idea what you're talking about.
And Jane is just like tears start streaming down her face. I know it was you, Michael. You had something to do with this. You were the one that sent the tape. You're the one. And he, again, is playing this off like, I don't know what you mean. So she says, somebody sent me a tape with Robert making love with another woman. And Michael is like, oh, please, Jane, how can you accuse me of Robert having an affair?
Yeah.
I mean, Robert.
It's like, you've accused me of a lot of stuff. Some of the stuff I did. But this, nah.
And he plays this pretty spot on. He's like, well, you know, Robert is a divorce lawyer, and there's probably a lot of men and a lot of women out there that he screwed over that want to get him back. And it looks like someone finally did. Someone nailed him. And I'm so sorry that that's hurt you, but gosh, maybe you're being too hard on him. I mean, all this proves is that anybody can slip up. Yeah, and it's like,
it's just, dude.
Oh, he is so devious.
He's so good, man.
He is so devious. And I will say, we've said this before about Josie Bassett. Anytime she has a scene where she's crying, it is so sad.
Yeah, she plays sad really well.
It is so, like, legitimately, you just want to give her a hug. Like, she's just, it's so sad to see her upset.
I think Jane is probably the most unhappy character, like, collectively.
Well,
like, she has more unhappy scenes than good.
It's funny because in a lot of the things that I've read about Melrose Place, I've read a couple of like articles and interviews with the cast, and Josie Bassett was quoted as saying that she wanted more meatier, I guess more like devious plots where she was doing more like bitchy backstabbing stuff, because a lot of the other characters had these like crazy storylines where they were doing all of like this horrible stuff to one another. And she always seems to be the victim in like all of these storylines. It all comes back to her, and she's always the one that's getting hurt.
Yeah. If we're keeping a running record of evil deeds for Michael, we should keep a record of shitty things that have happened to Jane.
Oh God, it would be too much. But honestly, that's a good point, because this is something that I would add to that record of top five.
For Michael?
For making, like, for breaking, purposefully breaking Jane and Robert up by planting a hooker to...
This is bad. It's his most devious deed. It's his most pure evil deed.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, the others were selfish. This was like premeditated evil.
Right.
So we're going to go to D&D now. And Allison is holding the meeting with Amanda's client.
Yeah, so the people from Mountain Togs are in, and she's got this big screen, like a projector, with this image of this dude climbing a mountain, and the tagline says, "You don't have to climb mountains to use Mountain Togs." And I'm kind of like, what is this product?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I don't
care. At first, I thought they were saying mountain dogs, like woof woof dog.
Who gives a shit?
I'm really trying to figure this out. Is it shoes? Is it equipment? Is it clothing? I don't know.
Do you know what a microcomp is?
I
don't know it.
Computer name.
All of these businesses that D&D advertises for, I have no idea what the things are.
Okay, so whatever they're hawking over at Mountain Togs, the people there love this idea. They're like, you know what? We've been wanting to change this up.
Finally, someone's listening.
Yes, someone gets it. So Allison is very, she's very encouraged by this feedback.
And Amanda bursts in and is just like, oh, hey, hi, I didn't realize we were meeting today. What's up? And everyone's just like, this is over.
We have to go now. Bye.
Yeah.
The client leaves and they're escorted out by Greg, who's going to validate their parking. So that leaves Allison and Amanda in the presentation room. And of course, Amanda's got a couple of words to say to Allison. She is like, what are you doing? Allison says, I'm really trying to save Greg this account. I mean, I've talked to him about the account and he did agree with me that they had some stale advertising and I had a few ideas. So I wanted to show them to them and they are pretty happy with them. So Amanda's like, how dare you? You're a poacher and poachers get shot.
Then that is grounds for termination.
That's a threat.
You can't fucking tell someone they're going to get shot. Even if it's a metaphor at work.
Well, this was 93.
You can't say
it. Is it 94 now?
94 now.
94. So still, I agree. But at that time,
I would
time,
be like, Greg.
And the thing that I thought was weird, they were meeting with Bruce before, but then it turned into Greg. So I'm like, who's Greg?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, Amanda runs out of that office, catches up with, I think, with who we knew as Bruce, who was in the meeting. And she was like, how would you allow Allison to come in and take my account? And he responds as, I think any business owner would. I don't care whose account it is. All I care about is the happiness and the satisfaction of the client. And if you're not delivering, I don't care. But Allison is, and I want her to be on that account right now.
And I thought I told you to take the fucking day off.
Yeah, you're overworked, you're overstressed, and you need to take a break. Get out of here.
And again, another L for Amanda.
It's just kind of like, you're making this worse, and you're not in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, she's getting crushed at every corner. I love it. I love seeing her lose.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, this was...
She is such a weird character because I really question her motives and want to know, like, genuinely when... We'll get to it in another scene, but she is so hard to figure out.
She has Asperger's. She doesn't pick up on social cues. She has no idea when people are being nice to her or mean to her. And... Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she does.
She just says shit because she thinks it sounds good.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. Because this scene, Michael's at physical therapy, and he's making lots of strides. If you remember, the last time he was at physical therapy, he couldn't even put weight on his legs. And
now he's doing more leg lifts than... average person could do. So, and they're like, all right, I think we're going to stop there, Michael.
You're doing a great job. Then Robert bursts in, which I'm like, how does Robert know where Michael is and where he gets his physical therapy done?
He's a divorce attorney.
He knows.
He can find you.
So he confronts Michael right then and there. What are you doing? I know that this had, you had something to do with this. When I'm through with you, you're going to wish that you hadn't survived the accident.
And Michael's just like, who the hell do you think you're dealing with, bro? I do this shit every day.
Like, he does.
He's basically like, what? What, motherfucker? I got you.
And he says, even with the tape, Jane knows. Oh, hold on. Robert says, well, you know what? Even with the tape, Michael, Jane knows that there's a big difference between me and you.
And he says, yeah, the difference is I cheat with doctors, not with whores.
Ah! Michael, this is what we live for.
Dude, such a good.
Thank you, Michael.
And Robert has nothing. He doesn't. He just gets completely shut down and is like, touche. It's true. He's got nothing. And then he knows, just by that line, he knows, like, Michael plotted every step of this. He got me.
He did. Next up at D&D, we have Allison going into Amanda's office to ask for the files on Mountain Togs. And Amanda's like, forget it. This is not very sporting of you. And Allison says to Amanda, look, I don't want to play with by the rules anymore. I'm done with like being your little lapdog, and I'm going to go after what I need to do here. And Amanda's like, look, I can play dirty too, okay, Allison? And I always win. So Allison is like, fine, I'm going to go get the files from your assistant. She leaves Amanda's office, and as soon as she walks out, she calls Billy and says, we need to talk.
Yep. Now Joe gets a call from Reed, who wants to meet at the pier.
From a payphone.
And if you don't remember, Reed, he has a history with boats because he was in prison for driving one on a drug ring with a drug ring. Now, Amanda and Billy are at Shooters.
I have to make a comment about this freaking music.
I don't even remember.
Oh my God. I don't know why.
Is it like light jazz?
The music really, really bugs me. When I'm watching this and I hear the cheesiest, most awful music, I just feel like I'm so gypped out of what the audience is really seeing. And I really feel like the music really lends a lot to what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Shooters must just have designated nights. And this was like jazz night.
Yeah, they've had like country western night.
Yeah.
They've had like hard rock night, grunge night.
They had rap night.
It's all across the board.
Hip hop night. Because they played Everyday People, right? At some point.
I don't know. I think maybe Jill told us that.
Yeah.
We didn't hear that.
Tribe Called Quest or something.
Yeah, we didn't hear that ourselves.
And, all right, Billy. So Billy accepts this like meetup with Amanda, and first of all, Billy should not be there to begin with. He should never have taken the offer to meet.
It's really Billy who's trying to maintain this level of friendship with Amanda.
Yeah, and I guess he feels he has to because he banged her and doesn't want her to tell Allison.
But big deal, Allison and they were broken up.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like It would be one thing if Amanda and Billy had never hooked up before, but they were an item long before Billy and Allison got together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, okay, Allison pretty much chooses Steve over Billy, and then Billy has a hookup with an ex because he's hurting over it. I can understand that.
Yeah.
And I feel like Allison probably could too after looking back on the way that she treated Billy.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this is like such a big thing that Amanda can lord over him, but she basically says, look, I need you to tell Allison to back off at work. She's gunning for my job. She's coming after me. And I really don't have any interest in protecting her feelings any longer if this continues to go on. And if it does, I'm going to have to tell her about our little night together.
And Billy looks at her, deadpan, says nothing, stands up, pulls out some crinkled up bills in his pocket that are loose, He throws them on the table, looks at her, and gives her the old-fashioned Billy Campbell. See ya.
Which, say what you will, but I was like, good for you, Billy.
Yeah, right on, Billy. Get finally. Up.
Don't play her stupid little game. Just that, like, bye. You're not gonna tell me what to do. You're not gonna blackmail me. You're gonna do what you're gonna do if you're gonna tell Allison you do. And I'm just like, even if she does tell Allison, you guys weren't together.
Yeah.
You had every right to do whatever you wanted with anybody you wanted.
Well, it would still affect. It would still affect. But
okay, yeah. Well, maybe Allison shouldn't play with Billy in the way that she does.
Right. So again, Amanda, no one is respecting or like catering to you anymore.
Good.
Another loss for her.
Next scene, we're at the marina, and Reed and Joe are walking hand in hand through the docks. They're looking at all these boats, and Reed's, you know, telling Joe about the boats that he used to own, and he tells Joe that he's moving on and that she's a big part of that. And they're just going through, and he goes, oh, there, that's the one. And Joe is like, okay, stop it. Where are we going to dinner? And he's like, we're going to go to dinner right on that boat. And she's like, what? Stop it. He says, we're going to have a little fun. So he walks up onto the boat and he's like, okay, I don't see any people here. That's good. And Joe is like, wait a minute. Why are we here? And he's like, come on, nobody's here. It'll be fun. Let's get into this boat. Let's have a good time. And she's like, okay, this is it for me. Like, I'm not going to break into somebody's boat and like have a little fun with you. I actually have a life that I like out here, and I'm not going to put it in jeopardy and get arrested with you. Mm-hmm. And she tries to leave the boat. Then he's like, no, come on. I'm just joking. I got hired to be the captain of this boat, and this dude that owns it like is never here. He takes it out like a few times a year. I'm just going to maintain it and live here, and I want to have dinner here on the boat. This is where I'm going to be living. And so she's very hesitant and like, okay, is this, like, I don't know if this is, like, kosher.
He just seems so shady.
I agree with that.
He's such, so very slimy.
So he's like, well, come on, I want to show you something. So she very cautiously boards the boat again, and he leads her around to the back where there is a beautiful place. Lovely. Setting. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's
probably windy as shit, though.
But if he, think? Well, if they're not on the open ocean, they're docked.
Still, I'd be like, it's cold.
Why do you want to see the downside in this? This is a romantic dinner on a beautiful boat.
Air date January what? It's probably cold as fuck.
Well, that's when I'd it like, aired.
Is there a jacket?
I need. We don't a know when this was filmed.
I need a jacket.
So she's like, look, you little jerk, don't you ever lie to me again. So that kind of gives us the heads up that he was telling the truth about getting hired on the boat, because he did have that dinner set and everything.
So it would appear that dinner went very well, because Joe is in bed with Reed.
And it's the next day. Morning. Yeah.
Aftermath, they did it. Joe's feeling a little remorseful that she ended up going real fast with him and giving him the cookies. And he's like, look, Joe, I've done a lot of shit in my life. Just don't make me wait for it.
So Joe says, you know, this isn't exactly what I meant about going slow. And Reed says, I've been wanting to sleep for you for 10 years. So if that's slow, like, this ain't slow to me.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm open, Joe. Okay. You hurt me. You love me. Do what you want with me. I don't care. But don't shun me. Like, don't shut me out.
Don't shut me out. Don't tell me to go slow.
So back at D&D, Amanda and Allison are hashing everything out. And I think Allison has had a change of heart. And she comes into Amanda's office and says, you know, Amanda, I want to give you your account back. What I did was pretty shady. And the first thing that Amanda says is, oh, you talked to Billy?
Yeah.
Which, if you were Allison, wouldn't you be like, what? No? Like, Billy has nothing to do with this.
Well, and Allison's just bipolar. She does this all the time. She says one thing, then the next day she's like, oh, I don't know. I'll go back on it. She goes back on fucking everything.
She does. She's very indecisive. She's very skittish in that way. And she says, you know, I feel bad about what I did. And I think that you do deserve your account back. And then Amanda, very uncharacteristically, is like, you know what? I got really upset because you stepped on my territory, but I've always been on the side of personal advancement. So I got to hand it to you. You really took that opportunity, but don't do it again. So I'm not going to hold it against you. What?
I think she's just like, take it, bitch. Watch. You're going to burn and I'm not going to be there.
Well, then that's what she says. She was like, but listen, you can have the account. You did all that work for it. But the next time, I'm not going to be here in case you blow the account. So Allison is like pretty happy about this outcome.
Yeah, she's like, great.
The piece is kept in the office. But really, there's nothing else that she questions about Amanda being like, oh, you talked to Billy? Weird.
Well, I think that Amanda just, she said it. We know that Amanda said it because she talked to Billy the night before. But I bet Allison perceives this to mean like, well, she knows I'm with Billy. She knows I consult Billy on things. She might have thought like, I just, oh yeah, of course I talked to Billy. Maybe. I talk to him every day.
Now back at Allison and Billy's apartment, Allison's in the kitchen and she's telling Billy about what happened and said, you know, Amanda called me into her office today, which I was like, that's not true. You went into her office.
And Billy has no idea whether or not he's walking into a firestorm or he's walking into just another conversation. But he plays it very well.
No, I think he plays it like he thinks that Amanda's told Allison about their night together.
Right, but he doesn't lay out everything. He doesn't like spill the beans per se, you know? He still leaves it up to her to really call it out cuz he doesn't know whether or not she knows.
Yeah, sure. So Allison is saying kind of ambiguous things like, "Well, we had a little chat and you told me to go for it, Billy, and I listened to you and after this chat a lot of things have been made clear to me." And he's like, "Oh, okay, well what did she say?"
"What thing?"
"Tell me, Allison. What did she say to you?"
"Did she say we fucked in the trash?"
And then she's like, "Well, she said that I could have the account." "That's it? That's all she said?"
"Did she say I was indecisive in bed and unsure?"
And so Billy, you can tell, is pretty relieved that the cat's not out of the bag.
"Did she say that I kiss the same way I eat a tuna sandwich?"
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that leaves us with the next scene with Jane and Michael. Michael's back in the kitchen, whipping up another dinner for Jane.
Laying it on thick.
And Jane is like, "Michael, what are you doing? Like, just get out of here." And I, from Jane's perspective, I'd be like, I just need all these guys out of my life. I need Michael gone. I need Robert gone. I need to really work on me. I don't need to be in any kind of relationships. Get these dudes out of here.
And Michael's just like, "Come on back. Bring it on back to daddy."
So he's like, "You know, sometimes it just takes a little brush with death to really know where your priorities lie, Jane."
And he tells her again, "I love you, Jane. I still love you. I want to be with you." And he's really proven to her that like all guys are bad.
And Jane's just like, "Please don't do this." Like the whole time she's pretty much protesting this. And but then
she's so battered at this point.
Yeah.
She's just basically like been beaten into submission.
And he goes and it kind of looks like they almost might kiss. And I was like, "No, no, 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 no." They end up in an embrace. But the creepy factor here is the camera pans out. And we see Sydney just standing outside, staring at them through the window. That's the real thing that I'm like.
Yeah, jerk it off.
How long have you been out there, Sydney?
I wonder what she's thinking. Is she thinking like, I put this back together. This was all me. Or she's just jealous as hell.
I think she's jealous as hell. Yeah. And I bet to a degree she's probably thinking, yeah, if it wasn't for me, like maybe I shouldn't have worked with Michael because now they're going to get back together and I'm going to be by myself again.
Right. But she had to work with Michael because she doesn't want Jane to know that she was a hooker.
Oh, the tangled web.
Yeah. So we roll those credits. Now it's time to recap this amazing episode.
Joe and Reed are moving very fast.
Robert cheats on Jane.
And Jane kicks him out of her life.
Allison guns for Amanda's job.
And Amanda cancels Hawaii and comes back.
And Amanda wants to start over with Jake.
And Allison gets the microcomp computer back and gets another account while she's at it.
And Michael and Jane reconcile?
Maybe. We're going down that path. So Dan, 90s moments, what you got?
My 90s moment is all of the references to the tape.
The video.
Yeah.
The tape. Which we could also say when Sydney is like, well, something could be wrong with her VCR.
Yeah.
Another one. Of course, we have to mention that credit card machine on the plane to take the phone.
Yep. That airplane in general was very spacious. That is not what a plane is today.
And they may have been in first class, though, because they had a wall behind them.
Still, they had a lot of room.
They really did.
The camera in the hotel room was obviously a VHS. Like, you just popped a fat-ass VHS in it.
I had one of those bad boys.
Shut it and go.
My parents had one, and I would make, like, me and my friends would put on plays and stuff and tape them all the time.
You guys are weird.
I know. The reference to the Playboy channel.
Yep.
Is that still a thing?
Yep.
I know a couple years ago, didn't Playboy say that they are taking all nudity out of their magazines?
Yep, it's back. That didn't work.
That didn't work?
No.
You're up on the privates. I should have known.
I've been on the Playboy channel.
I know you have.
Yeah, look out for me, guys.
Yeah, Dan has been at... Well, you've been on the Playboy channel. You were on their radio show, right?
No.
Playboy radio?
It was on the Playboy, like, Sirius XM station, and it's a show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to play, like, a weird game with naked girls?
Yeah. I played, like, it was like a Family Feud type thing. I don't know. You might be able to watch it. If you go online.
Where do you type in?
I don't know. Dan Hill Playboy.
Ooh. No,
I doubt it.
Dan Hill Playboy.
Yeah, I went on there for work. We were promoting an auction and like we just I was telling them like all the values of the reserve prices for all of the props that we brought in, and then they were having me appraise Playboy props.
Like, and if you guys don't know, Dan works for a company that buys and sells props and costumes from film and television.
Yeah.
And they sell them to collectors and they do auctions. So that's kind of the context.
Yeah. And then like we just had to play all these like weird games. I didn't get naked. A lot of other people did.
And he was in hog heaven.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Good for you.
But so there is still a Playboy channel. My last 90s moment was rape jokes. Can't do those.
That was a big one. A bottle of Evian water. Remember when Evian was like the water? Everyone wanted Evian.
Avion.
Do you say Avion or Evian?
I always said Avion.
I say Evian. So she went to go get Robert. Jane went to get Robert the bottle of Evian water. And then lastly, when Joe and Reed are on the boat, that like there was like pillows behind them that had the worst 90s like lime green, really abstract pattern on them.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that would just like they're vomit inducing today. If I saw that on my bed, I would like not have a pleasant sleep.
All these episodes deep down have a lesson. Jenny, what is yours that you take away?
I say don't sleep with randoms, especially when you're in a relationship, because you never know who's working undercover.
Yep. In the same light, mine is keep it in your pants. Because a lot of people, if they kept it in their pants, they wouldn't be in the sticky situations they're in right now. Billy.
Pun intended. Yuck.
Billy, if he didn't bang Amanda, she'd have nothing over him. Robert, obviously, if he didn't bang Jean Grey. Michael, obviously. And Sid, obviously, if she wasn't a hooker banging dudes and getting arrested, Michael would have no way of getting a video of Robert banging somebody.
But what's the fun in that, Dan?
Nothing.
Now it's time for a little segment that we call
Bitch of the Week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
All right, last week, Jenny, you said that Amanda was the bitch.
Doy.
And I said that Joe was the bitch. And on Twitter, it was close. 57%, 43%. Jenny, Amanda was the bitch of the week.
Oh, well, obviously.
And then Facebook, our awesome Facebook group that you guys should get in if you're not. Jenny won 9-1, one being.
Woo!
And the one was my vote.
Of course. Okay.
So who you got this week?
My nomination for Bitch of the Week is Robert. Robert, what are you doing? I liked you so much. You were really that knight in shining armor, somebody that was going to take care of Jane. You treated her well. You had a great job. You were so understanding about the Michael situation. And then you go on this business trip. All it takes is one pretty girl. I mean, although Michael set this up, at any time you could have said no. At any time you could have had dinner with her and cut it off, and nothing bad could have happened. You could have left her there at her door after you delivered her back. But you kept deciding to keep going further and further and further. And ultimately, you sleep with her. And if you really did care for Jane and love her the way that you say that you do, and knowing the background that Jane has come out of this crazy relationship with a philanderous husband, you do the same freaking thing to her. And then when confronted with the evidence, you lie. You are such a bitch. You are totally not who I thought you were. I mean, I would think it would be in his character. People slip up. People make mistakes. Okay, he was drunk. He made a really bad mistake in San Diego. But then I would think that the Robert I knew would own up to it immediately. Instead, he lied. And he is then being put on the same level as Michael in my eyes. He is total bitch. So disappointed in Robert. I think, hands down, bitch of the week.
My bitch of the week is Amanda Woodward. For one reason and one reason only. You dumb bitch. You don't go to fly all the way to Hawaii just to turn around and fly back. And you drag Jake into it. That is the most bitchiest thing that anyone could ever do on the planet. I was more upset with that than any infidelity on this entire television show. How dare you take somebody on vacation and then mid-air say vacation's over? I would slap you across the face.
That's pretty bad.
I would hit you with that fucking phone you just made a $20 phone call on, and I would throw the Mai Tai in your face. That is not cool.
Well, guys, you tell us. Who do you think? Is it Robert or is it Amanda? Go on Twitter, go on Facebook, vote, and we will announce the winner next episode.
This episode was called Michael's Game, but we could do better.
Don't look at me when you're saying that.
I could do better.
I'm naming this Candid Camera.
Smile.
You're on candid camera. For all the obvious reasons, Dan, what's your pick?
I'm ghetto renaming this one.
Oh, God.
This one I'm renaming Catch You Slipping.
Okay.
Because a lot of people get caught slipping. Amanda gets caught slipping at work, gets sent home. And Robert, of course, gets caught slipping.
I like it.
What do you think's happening in the upcoming episodes?
Oh, I hate to say it, but Jane and Michael are definitely going to get back together. I think that this, I am so against this, but it's like the writing's on the wall. I think you said it best. Jane's been battered. She's just at the point where she's like, fine, whatever. Okay, I'll be like your girlfriend again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's definitely going to happen. I think Reed is bad news, man. He, like, we talked about it before, but I get a real bad vibe from him. He's totally slimy, and I think that he is going to lead Joe down a very bad path.
Yeah.
I think that Sydney wants revenge. I think she is going to somehow try to blow up this new rekindling romance of Jane and Michael. She's probably going to win. I think that Robert's probably going to try to get Jane back at least for another episode. And then I think Robert goes bye-bye. I think we see Robert. We don't see Robert again. And then I am hoping that Allison is going to mess up the Mountain Tog account. And then Amanda's little warning kind of comes to fruition where she's like, I told you I wouldn't help you when this blew up and I knew it would. And I think...
And Allison gives her that face like, Amanda's not fair!
That's not fair! Yeah, so I think that's what we can expect to see in the next few episodes.
Cool. Yeah, I think that... I hope that Michael and Jane get back together because I think the sooner they do, the sooner we get Kimberly back. I miss her.
Oh, Dan. I think we as audience members at this stage in the game aren't supposed to know that Kimberly is coming back.
Oh, she's coming back. I miss her. I need her back in my life. I think Sydney gets jealous again, and this sends her down a fucking very ugly path. And I think Reed, like, kidnaps Joe. He, like, takes her on the... I remember something like he just takes that boat. I think he's going to take the boat, take Joe, and they have some sort of like shootout on the water. I really
it could be. I will say I was so wrong about my prediction from last week. I did not think Robert would go all the way.
Oh yeah, this is his swan song.
So disappointed in him.
He's done.
Ugh.
Big news, guys. Big news. We got the second we were about to start recording, we got an email that said, we got a new patron!
Woo! And they are a very generous patron at that.
Very generous. Kevin, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, man. That is awesome. We really appreciate it.
We want to let you all know, too, everybody that supports us or anybody that's thinking about it, we really use those funds to improve the quality of this podcast and are able to kind of bring you more episodes from this crazy, kooky show.
Mm-hmm. Keeps us going. Keeps us motivated. We got to get some more stickers.
And we would love to...
And we're saving up for merch. We got to get that merch. I love merch.
Yeah, this is the kit. He has every t-shirt from anything that ever has happened. Well, you just cleaned out your closet, too.
Merch is coming. Yeah, because I need to make room for...
all the Melrose
Place. I want Melrose Place hats, shirts, pins, buttons on all of you.
Oh, gosh.
On every single one of you. But yeah, thank you so much, Kevin. We really, really appreciate it. And if anyone else wants to help contribute to the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/MelrosePod and hook it up, man. You unlock bonus episodes, minisodes, character breakdowns. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We're on Instagram at MelrosePod. And if you email us, we'll write you back. MelrosePod@gmail.com.
We love smut.
And we love you!